All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. The Gospel of John, chapter 6. And I would like to begin reading at verse 15. Now, I'll just inform you here that the Lord has been ministering around the Sea of Galilee, and he has done some amazing, miraculous things, and he's been in debates with the scribes and the Pharisees and the council, and he has just twisted them up like a pretzel. And the people in the Galilee area were so constricted by these Pharisees, and they were so over the top in their zealous application of the law, that they were despised by the people. And so when the Lord Jesus twisted them up in little balls and then threw them out the side window, the people just loved it. They had never seen anything like what the Lord had done. And he had healed the sick. He had done so many wonderful things. And now we turn to the 15th verse. And I want you to notice, the Bible says, when Jesus therefore perceived that they, the people, would come and take him by force and make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when the evening was come, all right, so notice the timing here in all this. Notice the fact that it is now evening. When the even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea, or unto the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. All right, now everybody look up here real quick. Capernaum is in the north west part of the Sea of Galilee. And Capernaum was the hometown for Peter and James and John. All right, that was home for them. Several of the disciples were from Capernaum. When you go over there today, you can see the ruins of the city. And it's not that big. What they've uncovered is not that big. But you can see that it was a very active, very busy place back in the time of Christ. And They have uncovered the ruins for the synagogue that was there. They took the pieces out of the ground. It was a pretty good sized synagogue, so it must have been a pretty good sized town. And they have pieced that synagogue back together again. And you can go in there and sit down and probably sit on some of the same seats that are stones that the disciples may have sat on when they were going there for synagogue. All right, so he entered a ship and went, or the disciples entered a ship and they went over the sea toward Capernaum. All right, now notice that they did not go to Capernaum yet, but they went toward Capernaum. All right, now what time of the day is it? Evening. All right, hang on to that. Okay, and it says, and it was now what? Dark. All right, so now it's dark. And Jesus was not yet, was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. And he said unto them, all right, now remember now, it's dark, it's evening, it's dark, and the wind is howling, there's a storm, and the sea is violent. These guys are professional fishermen, don't forget that, all right? And yet the sea is going every which direction. And they were out in it, and they look over and see someone walking. Now, if you remember, Matthew tells us that when they saw Jesus, they thought he was a ghost, a phantom, yes. Scared them to death, all right? But, look at verse 20. He said unto them, it is I, be not, what?
Afraid.
Now, verse 21 is my text verse. Look at this. I don't know how many times I have read this story over and over and over, but for some reason, until this week for the message this morning, I saw this. Watch it. Then, when he spoke to them, then they willingly, what's the next word? Received him, Christ, into the ship. Now, he had been walking on the water. He came up to them. John does not tell us that Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. Remember that? And Peter stepped out of the boat, started walking towards Jesus. But then he took his eyes off the Lord, maybe because a wave jumped up, smacked him across the face. I don't know. But he looked at the storm, and when he did, down he went. All right, you with me on that? And so what happened? Well, what happened was the Lord reached down, picked him up, and then both of them came, and they said, John said in verse 21, then they willingly received him into the ship. So they welcomed the Lord Jesus into the ship. Well, I suppose they would, wouldn't you? I would think so. But then look at the last phrase here. It says, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went, or where they were going. Isn't that awesome? I about came unglued Tuesday morning when I read this. And I mean, I don't know how many times I've read this. Mercy. Hundreds of times, I would say, in since I've been saved. But immediately, the ship was where it was supposed to be. Hey, folks, everything is all right in my Father's house. Now, we can trust the Lord. We have to trust the Lord. All right, now I'm going to show you how we can do that this morning. I'm going to entitle my sermon this morning, Welcome Aboard. Welcome Aboard. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you now for your word. And I ask you to bless this to our hearts this morning and give us encouragement and comfort today as only you can. And Father, our hearts are so heavy today. But yet, we need to welcome you aboard and realize that you're in complete control. And so, Father, bless what I'm about to say to our hearts and encourage us this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We're all familiar with this story. We are familiar with what happened here. The disciples got in a ship, in a boat, with the intention of rowing over to Capernaum. And when they headed that direction, the idea was to go home, get some rest after a very long couple of days. And the Lord Jesus did not go with them when they got into the boat. We are told that he went before them up into a mountain to pray. He knew exactly what he was doing. And so he went to pray. He did not go with them. And as fate would have it, once out in the middle of the sea, a great storm came up, and these men, who were professional fishermen for the most part, thought for sure they were going to perish in the violence of the storm. Now, while struggling to in the storm to keep the boat afloat, the Lord Jesus came walking on the water to them. They did not recognize him at first. All they saw was an image, a shadow, a person coming toward them, walking on the water. And they did not recognize that it was Jesus at first. And so they thought probably what all the rest of us would have thought, that some kind of an apparition, some kind of phantom, some kind of ghost was coming their direction. But he immediately spoke up when he realized their fear and said to them, "Do not be afraid. It is I. Do not be afraid." And then revealed himself to them. Now notice, and I think this is interesting. Shows me something. I'm not sure what it shows me, but I guess that John was a human like the rest of us. But notice that John does not tell us about Peter stepping out of the boat and walking in our Lord's direction and then sinking because he took his eyes off the Lord. John doesn't tell us that. But John does tell us something that I don't know how, but I had never noticed before until Tuesday, and I then put this message together. But once they knew it was the Lord, notice what John adds in verse 21. Verse 21 says, "Then they willingly received him into the ship. And immediately the ship was at the land whither it went." Now allow me to simplify what John is saying here. John says they welcomed the Lord Jesus into the boat. And when they did, everything was just fine. All right, that's what John's telling us. They welcomed the Lord Jesus into the boat. And when they did, everything was just fine. That's awesome, isn't it? I love that. Now, folks, I'm telling you, this was the smartest thing they could have done while going through a terrible storm. It is the smart thing to do for anyone going through a storm. I mean, just allowing, welcoming the Lord Jesus into your boat. There is no one any better to have by your side in the midst of a storm than the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Nobody. Nobody. Don't forget, folks, our Lord has shown himself to be the master of that sea. On another occasion, the disciples were out in the sea and Jesus was asleep on the boat. And another storm came out of nowhere and the ship began to be tossed and the disciples were afraid. And suddenly they thought they were going to perish. And one of them went over and shook him and said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And Jesus stood up and said, "Oh, ye of little faith," stuck out his hand and said, "Peace, be still." And instantly, the waters calmed and the sea became as glass. Folks, when the Lord calms the sea, it's calm. When the Lord is in the boat with you and you are just fearful and wondering what you're going to do, the Lord, you can trust, is the master of the sea. Now, if we stop to consider things, we often find ourselves having storms come upon us out of nowhere. In the last few years, storms have come through our area a number of times, doing quite a bit of damage. In one storm, two summers ago, I lost a great big cherry tree, a beautiful cherry tree. And it was just like the Lord laid that thing down in the only place it could have fallen without doing a ton of damage to my shed or to the rest of some of my other trees. I mean, that was just like the Lord laid that thing down. It was amazing. And but I lost a beautiful big cherry tree out of it. Then we had one come through this summer and it just tore up the trees down at the bottom of our property that lines the bottom of our property. And it now used to be you could look down there and I mean it was just all those great big old trees were just perfect, and now it just looks like someone took a chainsaw to about half of them, and all the limbs were sheared out, and I'm still pulling limbs that fall out of the tree down in my yard. I was down there Friday, pulling limbs down that had fallen and throwing them over into the woods. So, I mean, if you live in Carroll County, you find constantly having to be on the watch for storms. But folks, listen, the storms of nature are not the only storms we have to face, are they? No, sir. We all have storms that come into our daily lives that we must deal with. And sometimes those storms can be quite devastating. Often, we just get through one storm and then another comes right behind it. We know that to be true, don't we? So let's look at a couple of lessons here from verse 21, and let's be encouraged about handling the storms of life. Because, folks, we're going to have to deal with them. It's just life. It's just life. First, I want you to notice the disciples' hospitality toward Jesus. In verse 21, we are told, "Then they willingly received him into the ship." Now, there's three little quick lessons in this hospitality that the disciples showed toward the Lord that I want you to notice. First of all, let's observe the period of the hospitality. You will notice here, folks, the first word of this verse is the word then. Then. So the question is, when was then? All right? When was then? The then was while they were going through the storm. All right, get that now. The then was while they were going through the storm. You see, they had not reached land yet. You see, they didn't even know they were close to the land. As far as they were concerned, they were going to go down any minute. And so the then was when they were in the storm, while they were in the storm, while in the midst of the storm, they welcomed the Lord Jesus into their boat. Folks, without a doubt, this was a perfect time to have the Lord Jesus come to them. And haven't you kind of noticed through the years that the Lord just seems to always show up right at the time you need him? Amen. Isn't that amazing how it works? I mean, but that's the way the Lord does things for us. Without a doubt, this was a perfect time to have the Lord Jesus come to them. Here's another thing I thought of concerning the disciples in the boat. Can't you imagine that these men were scared out of their wits? You see, not all of them were fishermen. Can you imagine the ones that were not fishermen sitting in that boat and thinking, this is it. We're toast. We're going down. I'm going to drown in the sea. I vowed I'd never come out on this sea, especially at night. But now here I am, and the storm is raging, and I'm going down. Hey, Matthew was a tax collector. Some of the others had jobs where they would not have had any experience dealing with a storm on the sea. And no doubt they were petrified at the storm. And of course, several of them were fishermen. And even these fellows were full of fear because of the violence of the storm. And sometimes, folks, it takes a storm in our lives for us to see our need of Christ. Sometimes it takes a little storm to come up for us to see our need of the Lord. Sometimes it takes a little storm for us to finally say, Lord, you're welcome aboard. You know? I mean, how many times do we get to the place where we just kind of ignore the Lord? You know what I mean? I mean, we get to be professional Christians. You know? We're good at it. We're good at it. We can flip the switch when we need to. We can turn the switch off when we need to. And we just get professional in this matter of being a Christian. And then we find ourselves in the midst of a storm and we're wondering, what do I do now? Well, here's a novel idea. How about welcoming the Lord Jesus to get you out of the mess? That would make sense, wouldn't it? That's what they did. That's what they did. You see, sometimes it takes a storm to wake us up a little bit. And of course, we need the Lord in the midst of every minute of every day. And we do have that promise that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. But the point is, we walk away from him. We walk away from him. But boy, when they got into a bind, what's the first thing they did when they realized it was Jesus? Welcome aboard. Welcome aboard. So that's the period of the hospitality. It was while the storm was raging. Secondly, let's observe the pleasure in the hospitality. Look at your verse again. Look at verse 21. John tells us that the disciples willingly received him into the boat. You know, about the only thing I can say here is I can imagine that would be how they felt. All right? Very welcoming. Very willing. They willingly received him into the boat. These men had seen their Savior do so many wonderful miracles, so many sudden appearances when they were in this storm or that storm. And I can only imagine that they were most willingly ready to receive him into the boat. I would say that they welcomed him aboard with great pleasure. And this is one thing so clearly seen in the scriptures, folks. The Lord will always come to wherever he is welcomed. He always will. He always will. How many of us have been in some storm and then in our despair we finally cried out to the Lord and we found out that he had been there all along? The only thing he wanted was for us to recognize that he's there. Boy, that makes sense, doesn't it? When we recognize he's with us in the storm, we willingly accept his help. We're so happy that he is with us. The point is, folks, the Lord Jesus will go where he's welcomed. He'll go where he's welcomed. And the disciples willingly welcomed him. And Jesus will do the same for each and every one of us as we willingly welcome him into our ship. Man, I need him, don't you?
Amen, that's right.
I need him. I know you do as well. Then thirdly, let's notice the prohibiting of hospitality. You know, it saddens me, but so many folks today don't want the Lord to come aboard. I'm talking about believers. I mean, for some reason, we think we can handle the storm without the Lord's help. A classic example of that is our nation. We think we can handle things without his help. I'm telling you, folks, we'd be in so much better shape if we'd lean on the Lord. So much better shape. I'm so grieved that our nation does not want the Lord to come aboard this sinking vessel we are on. The courts are running Jesus out of town with their anti-God, anti-Bible decisions that they're making. And it grieves me to say it, but folks, America has rejected the Lord Jesus. We no longer want the Lord's hand on anything that our nation undertakes. The ship is in trouble. I mean, the ship of America is in worse trouble than was the sinking Titanic. But our criminal government just keeps pushing the Lord away from the ship. No, welcome him onto the ship. I mean, what we're doing doesn't seem to be working. So let's just welcome the Lord in and try that. See how that works out for us. And I'm telling you, it'll work. But we also do the same thing in our own personal lives, don't we? Christian, listen, don't be so foolish as to push the Lord away from the side of your boat. Instead, welcome him into your boat. Just welcome him aboard. All right, so that is point one. That is their hospitality. But now, secondly, I want you to notice their help from Christ. I have read this so many times through the years, but when I read this earlier this week, I thought to myself, wow, how about that? Look at this. You see, folks, when the Lord Jesus Christ is welcomed aboard the ship, he gives us such great help and blessing. So let's look at his help. First of all, notice this. He assures our deliverance. The verse tells us that immediately. I like that word immediately, don't you? Immediately, the boat was at the land. Now, folks, don't forget, it's the middle of the night. It's dark. It's storming. And the wind is howling. And I dare say every person in that boat was disoriented. You could not see the lights from the shore. You could not see the lights hanging, lanterns hanging on the boats that were docked at the shore. You could not see the lamps that were burning in the houses. You couldn't see 10 feet beyond your eyes. And so it's a horrible night. It's a frightening night, and it's storming. The wind is howling, but the threat of the storm upon the boat, get this now, ended when the Lord Jesus was welcomed aboard the ship. As soon as he walked aboard, everything was fine. You see, folks, when you're out on the water and the storm is pounding and fear is taking its hold on you, that you think this is how it's going to end for you, there is not a more welcome sight than the shoreline. Not a more welcome sight. But they couldn't see the shoreline even though they were right on it. They did not know until Jesus got on the boat. Isn't that awesome? And here's another thought. When the Lord Jesus is welcome, we are not exempt from troubled seas, but we are promised deliverance through those troubled seas. As long as the Lord Jesus is in the boat, everything's going to be fine. Don't you remember when you were a child you were asked to do something and then you looked out and it was pitch dark, or you looked down in the basement and it was pitch dark, and you pushed the flashlight on and all you got was this little not even enough to see by, and then all of a sudden you felt Dad's hand on your shoulder. You remember how the fear just went away? Man, just like that, it was over, wasn't it? Well, folks, when you're in the storm and the Lord Jesus is welcome aboard and you feel his hand on your shoulder, whew, there's not a better feeling in the world. We can trust him, folks. We can trust him. The Lord Jesus is welcomed. He's welcomed. And when he is, everything's all right. There's a verse in the Psalm 34, verse 19. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. A-L-L, all. So I wonder what the Hebrew word for all means. Well, it means all. Yeah. It means all. So he assures our deliverance. Thank God for that deliverance. Amen. Then secondly, he assures our destiny. You see, folks, not only does Christ secure our deliverance, but he also assures our destiny. Again, the last part of this verse, immediately the boat was at the land which they went. Now they got in the boat to go where? To Capernaum. They got out away from the shore on their way to Capernaum, and all of a sudden the storm hit. They can't see anything around them. They don't know which direction they're going now. The wind is probably taking them wherever the wind wants to take them. They're totally at the behest of the wind. But what happened? Well, when they invited Jesus on board, the minute he got on the ship, The storm stopped, and they hit the ground. All right? They hit shore. I'm sure Peter, James, John, Andrew, Levi, Matthew, I'm sure that all of them just kind of looked at one another and said, wow, why didn't we do this back there? Why didn't we do this back there? No, guys, you had to go through the storm so you could learn to depend upon the Lord. You see, folks, God does not take you through the storm to drown you. God takes you through the storm to teach you how to trust.
Amen.
Trust in Him. I remember when I was growing up, I would ask my mom if I could do something. Mom would say, well, go ask your dad. So I'd go ask my dad, and my dad would say, no. Why? Because I said so. Oh, man, that's not a good answer. And so I would begin the little beg like a puppy dog, you know. Please. Oh, Dad, please. And then I start begging. You ever start begging? That's sad, isn't it? I mean, like your life depended upon being able to do what it is you just asked to do. And my dad would stand his ground and he'd say, no. And then my brother would chime in. I figured if Mike begs, we're good. I mean, he'd do anything for Mike, you know. But suddenly my dad would turn around, point both of us and say, here's the bottom line, boys, no. Now, when he said, here's the bottom line, I knew exactly what that meant. Don't ask again. If you ask again, they're going to have to hire a professional crew to come in and scrape me out of the cracks of the walls. Here's the bottom line. Yes, sir. Turn around, walk away. That's your best bet right there. I knew not to ask again. You see, to ask one more time, you'd have to go into the closet to what I used to call the murder coat hanger and get that black belt off of that coat hanger and bring it in there. Well, my friends, listen. Here's the bottom line for you. When you hear the gospel and say yes to Christ, He gets in your boat with you. He's there. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's there. And you do not have a single thing to worry about because He is able to do what He promises He will do. And what He promised you was everlasting life. And that means He can get you through the storms. He can calm the storm. He can deliver you through the storm, and He will deliver you through the storms of life to your destination, and your destination is heaven.
Amen.
He'll not turn His back on you, folks. Now, there may be somebody here right now, and you're tired of living a life where you wonder and speculate and hope that one day you'll just make it into heaven. Well, my friend, you don't have to speculate and hope. You can know. You can know. Because I'm telling you, you invite Jesus aboard, and He comes gladly. And He'll deliver. He always does. So trust Him to deliver now. Let's pray. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. My friend, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, I want you to know the Lord Jesus loves you. He loves you, and He wants you to trust Him. So we're going to pray in just a moment, and then we're going to stand and sing a song of invitation. And If God's spoken to your heart, you say, I'd like to know the Lord as my Savior. Well, I want to invite you to come. And we'll take a Bible and just takes a few minutes of your time. You don't have to join anything. You don't have to buy anything. You don't have to sign anything. No, we're trying to give you something that's going to last you forever. That's 10,000 times 10,000 better than what Kohl's or Boscov's or anybody else can do for you. We're trying to give you a gift that's going to last you forever. It's called salvation. So I want to invite you to come and let us help you this morning. Christian, listen, you're in the storm. Welcome him aboard. He'll help you through the storm. And our church is going to be in a storm here now for a little while. And we just need to ask the Lord Jesus to come aboard and help us through the storm. Father in heaven, you know our needs today. And I pray that you will bless your word to our hearts. Help us, Father, to know and to understand your goodness and the fact that you love us with a never-ending love. And Father, if there's someone here today who's not sure they're saved and on their way to heaven, help them to make their way down to the front so someone can take a Bible and show them how they can know they're going to heaven. Father, bless your word now and help our church through this terrible storm that we're facing. Give us encouragement and strength. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.